Hello and welcome to another FourBarsRest.com podcast and our first podcast for 2007. I'm Anthony Banwell and I'm in Skegness with the rest of the Four Bars Rest team, Ewan Fox, John James and Malcolm Wood, for the 2007 Butlins Mine Workers Festival that took place at the Skyline Resort. Over 70 bands participate in this weekend in five sections of competition, lots of fringe events and all that coming up later in the programme. We'll start though with the championship section, a two-day contest for the bands here, Ewan, a set test on the Saturday and an own choice entertainment contest on the Sunday. The test piece was Northern Lights. Talk us through the bands that performed well on the Saturday.
Well, I think the first thing to say, it was an intriguing and interesting contest on the Saturday, simply because it was an intriguing and interesting set work, as you say, Wilby's Northern Lights. A difficult piece in as much that it's very distinctive thematic programme music rather than, you know, a specific written test piece. It was written for Black Dyke's 150th anniversary. It's an integrated work for dance and atmospheric light and brass band. It didn't quite work today. It's based on fragments of deep harmony. But without the light and the dance, it becomes somewhat one-dimensional. It's a bit hard to understand where you can really pick out the deep harmony in it, even when deep harmony does come later on in the piece. But it just doesn't resolve itself. The piece doesn't really come to anything as such. So it was intriguing in that sense, because the bands really didn't know how to approach it, and they weren't really. It wasn't really one standout performance there on the day.
And the bands that did do well?
Well, there were four real quality shows. For the judges, it was Virtuosi GUS, Desford, Tongwin, Lice and Polysteel. And we had to really agree with them. We had Desford for us, just by a little margin ahead of GUS, Tongwin, Lice and Polysteel. So there's no real arguments there. After that, though, I think the standard really did fall away a bit. There was a number of what we would call mid-table performances. And when we spoke to Nick Charles, who was one of the adjudicators, he said that the thing that separated out the bands in many cases was they didn't have the basics right. So there was some poor tuning, ensemble playing wasn't neat and tidy, and therefore the top four bands put a little bit of distance ahead of themselves. Bands in the mid-table from the adjudicators were Milne Road Co-op, Fishburne, Redbridge and Yorkshire Imperials. And we just about agreed with them with that. We had Redbridge, Yorkshire Imps, Fishburne and Wingates. And then below that there was a real step below the three bottom performances. We had Milne Row, Thoresby and Tredegar. And the judges went for Tredegar, Thoresby and Wingates. So again, you know, you couldn't really disagree what they were looking for. But not one band on the day really nailed the piece. And I think the audience themselves found it difficult listening to. It's a lovely piece of music when it's played in the way it should be played, and that's with the band, with the dancers, and with the atmospheric lighting. It really does work there. But on this occasion, because it was lacking two elements of it, really, the audience, I think, found themselves distanced away with its understanding of it, and therefore it really didn't come off as a test piece. But still interesting, and as we said, interesting and intriguing.
So you've gone through all the bands there, but could you give us a little bit more insight into the top four performances?
Well, for the judges, as I say, they put Virtuosi GUS as the top band. Perhaps on the day, theirs was the most solid and the safest performance. A little bit bland in places. It didn't have a great amount of colour in it. But again, that's more to do with the piece possibly than the band. But there was a lot to commend. They're a good band in the making, GUS. So they deserved to come up there in the top two anyway. We had them second. Desford, we had a couple of points in the lead. They had that classiness about them. They showed it at the British Open a few months ago. And although this performance wasn't error-free, musically was very interesting all the way through. Nigel Weeks, who conducted them, really brought a little bit of music out of it and had that little touch of class. So we had them ahead. The judges had them second. But, you can't really complain about that. The surprise possibly was Tongwin Lice in third place, but it was really well-deserved. They had excellent, they sounded really well rehearsed. They had a superb soprano player who was the best of the day. Bass trombone was excellent on a day when bass trombone players overall didn't really sparkle. It was a spacious and confident account from Gareth Pritchard. Really bodes well for them, possibly for the rest of the year if they can carry that form on. They were very, very good indeed, and a number of people put them in the top three on the test piece. We weren't alone in that. Finally, Polysteel, the reigning champions. Bold and confident, but noticeable that there was a lot of camouflage going on, and there was some nervousness as well in some of the solo lines. The deep harmony part possibly was their Achilles heel, however. They were way out of tune, and as we said, Nicholas Chazz, when we spoke to him, they mentioned that they saw that as a point where bands lost points. So that possibly was the reason why they were in fourth place. But they are a class band, and I think, as we say, a band to watch out for later in the year. And it set up the contest nicely for the Sunday, where Malcolm Wood sat in to listen to the 11 entertainment programmes from the bands.
So, Malcolm, we heard there what Ewan had to say about the top four bands on the set test. How did it then pan out on the Sunday? How did those bands do?
Well, the four bands, Anthony, had an interesting day, it's safe to say. Starting with GUS first, they certainly benefited from some fine playing from principal trombone Chris Jeans. Desford really were a class act. They played late in the draw, and on the day itself, they really did play well. They put a very well-shaped programme together that was obviously being given a lot of thought, plenty of contrast within it. And they played well throughout. You know, the odd blemishes didn't make much difference. Tom Gwynlay's highlight, one of the highlights of their programme, was Elaine, the middle movement from Dennis Wright's Tin Tadgil, which really worked well for them. And Polly Steele, the defending champions, they opted for a very traditional programme, a march, a very good solo by Vicky Reynolds on tenor horn, and they closed with a traditional overture. And they must have been happy when they came off stage that they'd given their defence of the title everything that they could have done.
So what were the placings for those four bands in the entertainment part of this contest?
Well, Anthony, starting with GUS, they have come fourth in the entertainment contest. Desford capped off a really good day by being declared first for entertainment, which they'll be delighted with because it was an absolute cracking show. In second place came Tom Gwynlay from Wales. And again, they'll be happy with that because it was a good show. The major surprise, though, was Polly Steele. And they'll be scratching their heads all the way back down to the West Country, having come ninth in the entertainment contest today, which is... It certainly surprised us, and it will probably surprise a lot of people when they've actually looked at the results in detail.
So who slipped in third then?
Third actually went to Martin Hartfield and Forsby Corey. They put a very entertaining programme on, it has to be said. The audience loved it, and it obviously found favour with the adjudicators.
And what are the standard overall for the entertainment programmes?
It all came down to contrast, Anthony. The bands that did well had contrast in the programmes. The bands that didn't just went for music that, it has to be said, was at times a little bit in your face, a little bit too much. And as I said right at the start, contrast was the watch word of the day.
So Ewan, the bands had played, it all came down to mathematics. How did it all pan out?
Well, as we said, it was a question really. The four bands that made an impression on the Saturday were four bands that made an impression in varying ways on the Sunday. Sixth place went to Thorsby, who came actually 10th on the set work, and third in the entertainment. Because of that good result in the entertainment, they were sixth. Fifth place went to a consistent Yorkshire Imps, who had 185 points in both sections of the contest to come into the frame. And then you had the top four, which really, to be honest, were a class above the rest. Polly Steele, as I say, they could be left scratching their head with regards to their entertainment programme. They were fourth. Third then came Tom Gwynlay, fully deserved, with 9 points ahead there, with 379 points. And they tied with GUS band, but GUS took second place because they won the set work section. And then a little way ahead of them were Desford as the overall winners, who took the £6,000 first prize. And they had that little bit of class about them, and they showed themselves to be a very good band. So overall, I think there was very, very little that we could disagree with regards to the overall result. And we managed to speak to Nigel Boddis, who was one of the adjudicators for the entertainment contest, and who actually had listened to the set work as well. And he had some interesting things to say about the standard of the bands and the reasons why he gave the placings with fellow adjudicator James Scott in the entertainment section.
Nigel, it must have been a difficult task with 11 varied performances. What was the overall standard like today?
In a word, it was mixed today. We heard some good playing from the winners in particular. They were very consistent. They had all the musical factors in place that every adjudicator looks for, ideally. And with a sense of standard from beginning to end, really. The middle batch of bands showed inconsistencies. Whether the demands of the 2 days prove that, or rehearsal time,
it's Dave Smith, so I don't think
we'll... or the choice of music, well, that's for the bands to decide. You know? I thought there was a lot of good music played today, and certainly the choices I enjoyed very much. I think the biggest criticism that we felt today, to raise standards, was that of tuning and intonation, which we kept writing, and talking to other adjudicators over the weekend, they kept writing too. So maybe there's some holiday spirit still left in the bands. But it was a very good-natured competition today in terms of it felt good in the hall and relaxed between band and or the audience. We can observe that and feel that, you know, although you're in a box.
You've adjudicated a number of major competitions now in the past 12 months. You were at Spennymoor, where you adjudicated an entertainment contest in the open. This time you were in the box. Did you feel that possibly the bands were playing to the two people in the box rather than entertaining the audience on this occasion?
I have no way of knowing that, because we're in the box. We couldn't see what their entertainment was. I expect that some bands and some pieces suffered because of their probable entertainment values for audience and fun pieces, if you like, which you can't see in the box. So you can only talk about the values of music making, which is why we're there.
Well, you picked the Desmond Band, who were the overall champions, Mineworkers champions 2006. I think it was the vast majority of the people in the audience would have been in full agreement with the result from yesterday and the result from today. So you feel worthy winners.
Well, I can only comment on today, as a different team was in place yesterday, but they were worthy from my perspective. Coincidentally, they got a big prize in Birmingham when I was there too. And coincidentally, I heard them yesterday as a member of the audience, and I really enjoyed their sound. They are playing with a fabulous sound at the moment, fabulous confidence. And we've spoken before, confidence is everything in competitions, in my ears anyway.
Ewan Fox talking to Nigel Boddis. So a great win for Desford and their musical director, Nigel Weeks.
It was a great win for them, and an excellent news for Nigel Weeks, who has just finished off his MA at Salford University and the tutelage of Professor David King. The last time he actually won a brass band contest in the UK was 1993. So he's gone 14 years between victories, but this one was well deserved.
But he has been out of the country for a long time.
He has been out of the country for 13 of those years. So we're not going to say that he's been been unlucky, but it was well deserved on this occasion. He's a fine conductor, a very musical conductor, and he had a good band under him, and he did bring the best out of Desford. He also brought the best out of the players, and one of those players was David Smith, who's the excellent principal corner player. He won the best soloist prize in the entertainment contest for a fantastic bit of trumpet playing. As you can tell, he was a delighted young man when we spoke to him after the announcement of the results as well.
Dave Smith, who is the principal conductor of the Desford Band, congratulations, David. You yourself must be delighted because you also won the best soloist prize today. And also for the band, it must be a fantastic way to start 2007.
Oh, it's a great start. We're very happy. Yes, it's... It's what we work for, so that's why we're happy today.
You played really well at the British Open. You didn't qualify for the National Championship, so there's been a bit of a break. Has the band been working hard? It sounded as if they were very well rehearsed over the 2 days.
Well, we did 6 rehearsals for this contest, and which is good for us. But we're happy that we have a good band throughout, and we rely on good quality players in every position to get us through the short rehearsal periods that we have. Unfortunately, we don't have major sponsorship like most bands, so we have to rely on a short burst of very intense rehearsals.
Nigel Weeks conducted you this time. You usually have Nigel Seaman, who's another Welshman, of course, so you attracted to the Celtic musicians by the sounds of it.
Well, Nigel came very highly recommended from David King, and it was a chance for us because we don't know Nigel at all, and very, very, very pleased with his work this week. He's a very talented man, and we'll definitely be using him again at some other point.
Well, this kicks off the season in fine style for you now. Hopefully now you take that onto the regional championships where you didn't have a lot of success last year. So hopefully fingers crossed for Burton on Trent.
Well, the regional is a difficult one for us because it's a difficult hole to playing. It doesn't favour bands with big noises. It's a very difficult hole to play in, but we'll do our very best. That's always our intention, yes.
Well, congratulations for your win today. The band treasurer must be happy. He's £6,000 better off, and good luck for the rest of the year, and congratulations on winning your solo horse prize as well.
Thank you very much.
On to the first section then, and Malcolm Wood, you sat in for the large field of 20 bands in this section, all playing Kenneth Downey's very enjoyable Music for the Common Man, and the winners, Innovate Skelmanthorpe, conducted by John Roberts.
Yes, Anthony, clear winners for us on the day, and I think clear winners for adjudicators Dennis Wilby and Geoffrey Whittam as well. They were drawn last, oddly enough, out of all the 20 bands, so it was a case of saving the best till last, but they were the one band that really got to grips with this difficult test piece and brought all the music to the fore. John Roberts did a fantastic job getting all the music out of the band, and he really worked them hard. They had some good solo playing. There's a lot of exposed solo parts in this piece, and the band overcame those difficult areas very well indeed. And it was a very musical and confident performance. It wasn't one of these performances that started off uncertain, but the confidence was there from the beginning. And you can tell that they're obviously a confident band at the moment, having had a good end to 2006. And they're certainly one to look out for in 2007.
And in second place, Sandhurst Silver.
Very good result for Sandhurst. They played straight after a comfort break. They played number 11. And Roger Burke, again, directed a band that played with confidence. Not without errors, it has to be said, here and there. Just occasional blips around the stand. But it was a very, very solid performance, perhaps not for us, not perhaps second, but I have to say they played well, and they'll have been delighted to go back down south with a very good performance here.
And in third place, United Yorkshire Co-op. Now, bearing in mind what happened during their performance, they must be pleased.
Yeah, I think they'll be delighted to have got third, taking into consideration, Anthony, what happened, and very, very briefly, for those that don't know, at the back of the stage, there were a few doors, and during the performance, a couple of cleaners decided to make an appearance, complete with full cleaning equipment. You name it, they had it. They even had a conversation as to what to do, and they decided to go out by a side door. Very bizarre, very, very strange. Must have been distracting. It was distracting for the band, particularly those that could see what was going on and wondering what on earth's happening. But fair play, they kept going. They really did battle through. And they played early, but number six. But he put a really good, solid performance in. And taking into consideration what did happen, third is well deserved. And they could have easily fallen apart, but they didn't.
Well, into United Yorkshire Co-op then. Now, in fourth place, Jack Field, Alcott Reason, conducted by John Means.
Yeah, a very good performance this, and a good boost for the band. They've just come down from the championship section, so they've been looking to start off 2007 in real good heart. And John Means pulled out every ounce of sweat, tears, you name it. He got everything out of the band on the day, and they really worked hard. And he pulled a lot of music out of the performance that not many conductors did on the day, and fair play to John and the band. They did very well.
Now, outside the top four, a couple of bands there I know caught your attention.
Yeah, Bedford under John Berman, they came in fifth place, and John shaped a very musical performance, and perhaps they were unlucky not to have sneaked into a top four. And the Riddings band in particular, off number one draw, we had them a little bit higher than they came in 14th place, but we thought they put quite a good marker down. And apart from that, another band that perhaps deserves mention is Markham, who can also consider themselves just unfortunate to have missed out on a top four berth on the day.
Now, at this point of the programme, I'm just going to hand the mic over to John James, and he'll explain why.
The second section took place in the Lakeside Hall at the Butlins Skyline Resort, and it was actually Anthony's opportunity to listen to the bands who were playing in the second section. So let me ask you, Anthony, the winners, Delph, playing Kaleidoscope by Philip Spark.
Yeah, and what a fantastic test piece this was. Five variations based on a Swiss song called Das Brüggerlied. It was an absolutely wonderful test piece, and it was thoroughly enjoyed by those who were listening and playing in this contest. Absolutely wonderful. And the winners, Delph, they really did give in a very solid performance of the work. It was well thought out and directed by the MD, and that was really the crux of their performance and their success here today. And a special mention really should go to their principal corner player, Rebecca Godwin. She was absolutely superb. She really did lead from the front. And when you've got a principal corner player playing as well as that, all the band up their game, and they really did put in a super performance.
Now, Butlins seems to be a very happy hunting ground for the Kippax band, and they took the runners-up spot. What were your thoughts on their performance?
Well, this was another well-directed performance. So much intelligence from the MD once again. It wasn't perfect. It was scrappy at times, but some of the initial work was quite tricky. A lot of bands had trouble getting to grips with some of the rhythms in the earlier variations. But nevertheless, this was a really, really good performance. Once again, another superb solo corner player. There was lots to admire right throughout this performance.
Now, moving further down the trophy list, and in third place from the Midlands came Carlton Brass.
What a fine-sounding band Carlton Brass are. We've heard them quite a lot over the last couple of years, but they really did have a fine trombone section, a great bass section as well, and that really did give them the great foundation for their performance that they put in. Again, another band with superb direction from the MD, and I think that was the reason why these three bands turned out top of the prize list today. Three well-educated, intelligent performances.
Well, it sounds from what you're saying, Anthony, that the three bands in those positions just stole a march on the rest of the section.
You're absolutely right, John. That was the case. These three bands really did stand out from the rest of the bands in this section. But credit should go to the fourth place band, Wandsbeck's Ashington. It was a nice little performance, this. Plenty of style. A shame about the percussion. That was a little bit loud. I think they were second band on stage. I don't think maybe they come into the hall to really adjust their playing to suit the venue, which wasn't the greatest of venues, it must be said. But nevertheless, they gave in a very good early marker. Outside the top four then, there were a couple of performances that I particularly liked. The first one being Egham. What a fantastic bass trombone player this band had. Absolutely brilliant he was. The performance overall lacked a bit of passion, it's got to be said, especially in the fourth variation. It was well played, but it just really needed a little bit extra. But generally, it was well played. And then Frickley South Emsall, lots to admire in their performance, spoilt by a really over-enthusiastic percussion section, it must be said. They were great players. In the quiet stuff, they absolutely sounded wonderful, but they really did do too much in the louder sections. And finally, Unity Brass. They came in 11th, and I put a little comment next to it saying that this could possibly feature higher than that. It was never going to challenge the top bands, but it was a real understated performance and so well directed by the MD, who knew the limitations of his players. They did struggle with the technicalities of some of the variations, but it was a fine effort and top marks to the MD, who I must say looked resplendent in the finest shirt of the day, pink and purple spots. It was wonderful. Shame it didn't match his trousers, but nonetheless, fine effort.
And so a relatively straightforward job for the adjudicators to take the top three bands in this section.
Absolutely correct, John. And when adjudicator Alan Fernie spoke to Ewan Fox, he made some interesting points.
Alan, first of all, something about the test piece, Kaleidoscope by Philip Spark. Was it a good, worthy test of the bands here?
Well, anything Philip writes is always worth playing, and it's always very, very playable. It's always designed for the bands and really enjoyable to play. Judging by the standard today, that most of the bands could actually play it quite straightforwardly.
So what was it with the winning band that stood them out from the rest of the pack then?
Just one or two little things. They did take things a bit quickly, but the general quality of playing was very, very, very good.
With a number of bands that we've heard today, even in the championship section, tune in, and some of the basics haven't been put in place. Were there problems with any of the basics of good brass man playing here today?
I think every brass band suffers from tuning here and there, and especially in Philip Sparks' piece where the main theme is given to the back row. And it was nice to hear that I think most of the bands had their back row playing today, either that or they've got some terrible out-of-tune front rows. But no, there was a lot of very good playing in the second section today.
And again, do you think it's a good point that we're using pieces by, you know, quite modern composers such as Philip Spark, etc., instead of going back to looking at pieces from 40 or 50 years ago, which there's a bit of a clamour in certain circles to get them back out because we're losing the opportunity of playing traditional brass band strands?
I think it should be a balance. I think the second section bands will have played Kaleidoscope today now have to play Helen Perkins' Carnival, which is very different, and that'll be very, very good for them.
Alan Fernie talking to Ewan Fox. And an interesting point about the back row cornets.
Absolutely, John. Spot on he was too, I must say. A lot of the bands did actually leave that part with the back row cornets, all except one as far as I could see. I'm not going to name names, but they won it. If we can swap seats again then, John, and move on to the third section where you sat in for the 14 bands in this section. A new piece from Keith Wardle, Edwin of Northumbria, and taking the top prize in this section from Cornwall, the Hail Band.
An interesting contest and a very, very interesting piece. If I can just touch on that before we actually get to the bands. It was a piece written in three movements. There was a first movement that captured the mood of the date and the time and the period. A second movement that was very reflective, very soloistic, and quite demanding solo passages, starting on top A's and mixing duets with cornet and euphonium, really needed balance and control, quite a demanding movement. And then a final movement full of excitement, battle scenes, lots of rhythmic pulse, lots of driving rhythms, and some excellent playing, and the Hail Band really did get to grips with the piece quite commendably. They were unhurried, they gave it space and time when it was needed, very, very rhythmic, a wonderful interpretation by the MD, and really an excellent description, and overall a winning performance, most enjoyable.
And just behind them in second place, the Matlock Band.
Matlock Band were quite interesting. They had a really good trombone section. They opened very steadily, didn't go for anything forced. It was well played and very positive, and bringing the piece to a conclusion, they got a really good atmosphere and they really built it up to a nice conclusion. So nice performance from Matlock.
And just behind them, in third place, Whitworth, Vale and Healy.
An early draw for Whitworth, who again had travelled over from the northwest, like a good few of the bands here. A good, clean opening, nice transition between the thematic lines. A little tentative in the second movement, but that's not a criticism, because as I said, it was a very soloistic piece of music and commanded a lot of respect from the solo lines, and so no criticism to say that there weren't a few, you know, odd catches, but an exciting, crisply played a performance that didn't quite take as quicker tempos as some of the other bands, but for that, captured the mood very well.
And taking the last podium place, in fourth place, Stantonbury Brass.
Stantonbury Brass, again, had an early draw, and the players in their section were probably the basses, who had a really very good day. They got away to a nice, clean opening, did a nice control, then a nice, fairly safe start to the to that middle movement, and then the basses really did come into their own in the final section. It was confident stuff, and it finished really well. So, and you know, a good sum of money, £375 in the bank as well.
And the pick of the other 10 bands in this section then, John?
Well, I'm going to have to say that you're going to say to me, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? But when we were looking at our predictions, there were three bands in there that we highlighted: the Flixton Band, Leicester Cooperative, and the Rockingham Band. And it was the case that outside of the top four, these were the bands that really caught the ear as well. Flixton Band have a great sound, and Kevin Gibbs gets a very forthright and interesting performance out of the band on each occasion. They came fifth, and they took the music very flowingly, a little bit quicker than perhaps some of the other bands, very, very clean and interesting. Now, the opposite could be said for the band that came sixth, and that was the Rockingham Band. Now, they took a little bit off the music and gave it some space and time, and they actually took the prize for the highest placed mine workers band outside of the top four. And there again, the Rockingham Band played really, really well. Full sound, gave the music lots of scope. And then we had Leicester Cooperative, and Leicester Cooperative came in at seventh. And what a lovely ensemble. Lovely, rich, warm sound. And that was the thing that came, you know, was the abiding memory of Leicester's performance. And to round out the section, I had the opportunity to speak with Colin Hardy, one of the adjudicators, and he gave us an insight into his thoughts on the music and an insight into his results and the results from that section on the day. Here I am backstage at the Butlins Championships, and I'm with Colin Hardy, who was one of the members of the adjudicating panel for the third section here at the Butlins Championships. Colin, a new piece for the bands to get to grips with this year in Edwin of Northumbria.
When I first got the score, my impressions of it was that I really wish I was conducting, because looking at right the way through the score of all the three movements, there was so much detail in there in terms of chances of balancing, of sorting out tuning, and the whole story read as though there was an interesting story to tell in music terms. And when we got into the piece, my foundations were confirmed, because both Nigel and myself looked at each other and says, this is a great piece. And the other thing that we both thought was it was well chosen for the third section, because it not only was musically challenging, but there was enough technical challenges in it to sort the bands out, but there was nothing in it that the bands couldn't cope with. So it really did make it an ideal choice of piece for the section.
And now turning to the bands themselves, impressions of the overall performance and the standard of playing and so forth on the day.
The overall playing was quite good. There were one or two bands at the low end that struggled a little bit, especially with the tuning and intonation things that were inherent within the arrangement. And then there was a whole clutch of bands sort of after the low two, with two or three bands together then again, but the first and second prizes were two that jumped out as, and we both sat there and thought they were very, very musically presented, and they were very, very worthy. One of them, of course, came early on. I think it was band number six, which turned out to be the band that won it last year. It was a super performance, but then along later on came this other one, and Nigel looked at me and we both nodded our heads and says, yes. And it was just something that the conductor there, and we saw who the conductor was, of course, a very, very musical gentleman who has done so much over his banding life and has had much success. And it proved to be a very musical conductor, and that put it into first place, just because it had that little bit of a wow factor over band number six. But two super performances, and we were very happy with the result. And we must congratulate, I think, Keith Wardle, because it's his first time ever having a piece published for a contest. And I think he's done a super job, and I just hope it's the first of many for him.
John James talking to adjudicator Colin Hardy. And finally, the fourth section. Ewan, you sat in and listened to the 12 bands in this section. The test piece was Ray Steadman Allen's The Journeymen. The winners, Thoresby Colliery Youth, conducted by Christine Gent.
Yeah, and a great win for a fine little band as well. Christine Gent is doing some fantastic work. They've come back, retained their title, which is a hard thing to do, and they've showed themselves to be a band to look out for, especially if you come to the regional championships this year in the Midlands.
And the test piece?
The test piece is an interesting choice. The Journeymen, as we said, by Ray Steadman Allen, four movements, all descriptive of people going back and forth their business. One was called The Pilgrim, another one called Sundowner, which was the movement really which caused the most problems for the bands. It had to be played in like a slow jazz, a soft shoe shuffle, if that's the right way to describe it. But it was a very good test piece, tested all the bands, asked a lot about their basic capabilities,
and in the end it was a good test piece. And Christine Gent was obviously delighted when John James caught up with her after the announcement of the results.
I'm stood backstage with the winning MD from Thoresbury Colliery Youth, Christine Gent, and they secured the top prize in the fourth section here at Butlins. Christine, winners for the second year running. How does it feel to be Butlins champions?
I think we're all ecstatic at today's result. You've just heard with the children what they think about it, and you know, it's excellent. They're working hard, and we're determined to come back to challenge for that first prize and not just come for a holiday.
And in the year that's just passed, obviously winners last year, what work has had to go in behind the scenes in preparation for this? I know that players change, certainly within in youth band situations.
I mean, obviously, with the young band, they're always learning all the time, they're always developing, and we're working with them week in, week out. This year's band, there's only one change from last year, so I've got 12 months of development behind this year's winners.
And finally, the next contest coming up, the regional championships, expectation, the hopes for those?
Yes, we've just started looking at the piece. It's an excellent piece, went to a lot of hard work, but we're determined to go and give a good show there as well.
John James talking to Christine Gent. On to second place then, Ewan, and Market Raisin.
Yeah, very good, very confident, and very happy band, this. All smiles all around the stand, right from the first note to the last. It was a little untidy in places, but really well-shaped. They had an excellent flugel player and a very tuneful soprano player. Third movement possibly was the difference between them winning and coming second. It didn't quite have the style that Thoresby had, but it was a very confident performance and well-deserved of coming in the prizes.
And in third place, Bestwood Black Diamonds.
The band that we thought possibly had won it, we must say, as always, Brian Draper, was sartorial elegance with his fantastic jacket that he wears. We must have to find out who his tailor is. But again, his band really did play well. Big mature sound that they had a couple of problems, possibly stylistically. Possibly tried to do a little bit too much with the third movement and getting the style of it. But again, they sounded a very competent band, very well led as well. So again, third place. We possibly had them tipped for the win, but they could be well pleased with coming third year again.
And the final podium place went to Whitwell Brass.
Yeah, and talking of sartorial elegance, their MD, David Fretwell, came on with the shortest tie I've ever seen on a conductor. Better off wearing a dicky bow, I thought he was there. But apart from that, they were good value as well for coming in the prizes. Very up-tempo to start off with, but they had a good first movement and an excellent second movement. Bit out of tune in the third movement, which caused problems for the band. But again, another band that had a sweet tone soprano and a very secure flugel player. It was a rush hour commuter to finish, but it was exciting and well played. So again, well done to those. That's a good band in the making.
So that's the top four of the other eight bands. Anyone, any particular bands caught your ear?
Well, all the bands really caught our ear. There wasn't one bad performance. Some bands struggled a little bit, as always in the fourth section. Some bands are a bit light on players. And sometimes the tuning goes a little bit awry as well. But of the rest, there was something really of merit with every performance. Tewkesbury had a good performance, and they can possibly count themselves a little bit unlucky that they didn't come higher. And also Dunstan, who put in a good solid account as well, which relied heavily on getting the basics right. But apart from those, yeah, every band can have something to go home with, thinking themselves that they played well.
Now, in addition to the five sections of competition that were taking place this weekend, there were lots of other fringe events taking place, brass-related fringe events. John James, you took time out to take in a lot of what was going on this weekend. Talk us through what you heard and saw.
Lots and lots of interesting things going on, turning this into a true festival. The Polysteel Band, they were the 2006 Butlins champions. They opened the event with a concert. The stage was reset and a host of great players formed the Brass Band Aid Celebrity Band. Wonderful playing. Later on in the weekend, you had a Parkinson-style chat show that was brass band related, and that was hosted by Stan Lippiatt. But perhaps the real focus of the fringe events was an attempt to get into the Guinness Book of Records. And as it happened, 450 players representing, what, 70 bands got together in one hall, and they played the big blow, the march, and it was just exhilarating, I have to say. And I took the opportunity to speak to John Handley. He was instrumental in bringing about the Brass Band Aid world record attempt, and I asked him how it came about and how he got involved and just what went into putting together a world record attempt like this.
It started a year or so ago, well, literally here, when I met Bob and Bryony for the first time, and we decided that we'd try and do something to round off a year of work that we've supported them with, and that's the association. The traders have all helped us, and we sort of put together and said, we're going to go and do this, support them and do something. It's been time spent, evenings, nights, calling in favours from various people, calling in favours from friends, just dragging everybody in from everywhere. The hard work has happened in the last 4 weeks. A lot of the behind the scenes with the creation of the website, the press releases and everything else has gone on a fairly steady basis all year round. And then this last 4 weeks, I just haven't slept, basically.
I would imagine the heart rate went a little bit up in the rafters when the music actually started, did it?
I never thought I'd say it, and I shouldn't admit to this, but I don't play an instrument. But yeah, I mean, when it started and when it went, it just sent a shiver down my spine. It was amazing, absolutely amazing.
Now, one of the 450 players there with the world record attempt was trombonist Bryony Thompson, someone at the heart of Brass Band Aid, John.
Oh, and wasn't she beaming when we spoke to her at the hall straight after the record attempt?
Bryony, an absolute resounding success. Brass Band Aid and the Big Blow 2007. Another activity that has gone so well and so successfully, where you actually sat in and played today with the bands and the baton came down. Just give us an insight into what you were feeling at that moment in time.
It was phenomenal, really. I mean, it was like when we recorded the first CD, when the band, the celebrity band, started playing, just the rush of adrenaline that goes through you, knowing that everything's come together and it's all working, it's a weight off your shoulders. And then the atmosphere where everyone's so enthusiastic about it and they're all enjoying it and they're all wanting to be there, wanting to raise money for Brass Band Aid and wanting to play it as a group. It's an amazing experience, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Bryony Thompson really echoing the thoughts and feelings of many who took part in this world record attempt. But we'll leave this with someone who made a special trip to be here this weekend for the Big Blow.
I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce you to perhaps one of the most famous trombonists in the world, Douglas Yeo, who we rather think has probably travelled the furthest to be with the Big Blow this year.
I would think that's probably the case, although it didn't take me the longest time. It took me 12 hours to get from Boston to Skegness. But Bob Thompson, the founder of Brass Band Aid, was driving from Durham to Skegness, ordinarily a four-hour drive. It took him 13 hours on Friday because of the bad weather, with the motorways being closed and trucks being turned over. So I actually got here quicker than he did.
Was the experience of blowing with so many players meet your expectations, or just completely different?
Well, I didn't really have any expectations because I had no idea what was going to happen. You know, in America, we have mass band contests with marching bands, with wind bands. American football teams for high school get together and you have a contest with maybe 10 bands put together. And it's always an absolutely dreadful mess. You have one conductor up on a ladder at the 50-yard line trying to keep all these bands together to play John Philip Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever, and it's always nothing but a mess. This actually was fantastic. Frank Renton did a great job of putting each section together by itself, and then we played it together once, and then we actually went for the performance, and I was impressed that it not only did it begin and end together, but it had a fairly nice sound in the middle.
Now, I believe some fundraising has taken place across the pond, as we'd say, in America.
Indeed, one of the things that I've been involved in is been working with Bob Thompson and Brass Band Aid to sensitize American bands about the great work of Brass Band Aid and World Vision and the school they're building in Adet, Ethiopia. So the New England Brass Band, of which I'm music director, has raised £1,500, and I've presented a check for that amount to Bryony Thompson, Bob Thompson's daughter, and our fundraising is ongoing. Even since we had that check made up last week, our band has already raised another 250 pounds. So we're looking forward to continuing this support through this season and sending off another check to Brass Band Aid at the end of the season.
Can I take this opportunity to thank you for taking the time to speak to us? It's an absolute pleasure to meet you.
Well, it's a great pleasure for me, and I should say to all of you who are here in the UK, American bandsmen are really enjoying FarBarsRest.com, so thank you for the great service that you provide for us.
John James talking to Douglas Yeo. Back to you, Ewan. The Butlins contest is now in its fourth year. What were your overall thoughts on this year's festival?
Well, first thing to say, really, is yet again another great weekend here in Skegness. It's a long way to come for not only us, but for the vast majority of bands, but the trip is well worth it.
And they come in their numbers.
They do. There was over 6,000 people on the camp on each of the Saturday and the Sunday. We understand as well nearly 5,000 people booked in and another 1,000 people paid at the gate. So it shows that, you know, there's a real appetite for brass band competitions run like this. You've got to give it to Butlins. They've resurrected the miners' competition. If only they could have resurrected the mining industry, it would be even better for us. They were fantastic audiences here. In the lower section competitions, you know, the boys, we went in to see
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely, they were 67% full most of the time.
They were queuing, you know, to come in. There were people standing at the back of the hall to listen to the second, third and fourth sections. That's fantastic. Well organised as always, Brian Eggleshaw and his team do an excellent job. The side events, which went from the Big Blow to Stan Lippiatt doing an impression of Parkinson, were also entertaining. Even had Bucks Fizz were very good. On the downside, I wouldn't say there's really a downside, but they still have to look at two questions, really. The prize-giving ceremony went into a bit of a free-for-all at the end with the lower sections on the Saturday. That perhaps needs a little bit more structure. It didn't quite give the opportunity for the bands who won the prizes to enjoy the moment. So if they possibly look at that. And with regards to the championship bands, I think the organisers have got to look at the question of the entertainment side of the contest. This year, the bands really don't really know if they've got to play to the judges in the box or they've got to play to entertain the audience. And I think if they have the judges in the open, as they do in Spennymoor, and possibly give 10 points or whatever to the choice of entertainment part of it, the bands will be able to structure their programs a bit better. I think a lot of the bands try to be a bit clever, play knowing that there was James Scott and Nigel Boddis in the box, and forgot really about the audience. Some of the programs were a little bit bland in that respect. So that's something possibly to look at as well. But overall, another fantastic event. And this is the future of brass banding. Butlins are putting a lot of money, a lot of investment in. They get a good return, it must be said, because they have 5,000 or 6,000 people in Skegness on their camp. But, you know, hats off to them. It's been a fantastic event overall. We can't, you know, say enough praise for them, and we're looking forward to coming here again next year.
And to close then, in good 4B art tradition, highlight of the weekend, Ewan?
Well, apart from Liverpool beating Chelsea 2-0, which is a real highlight, for me, seeing the audiences in really queuing up to go in to listen to the lower section bands, sections 1 to 4, those bands must have been thrilled to turn around and see, you know, a full hall and being appreciated for their efforts as well. I think that's absolutely fantastic, and well done to Butlins for doing that.
I'll ask you the same question, Malcolm.
Well, my highlight of the weekend, Anthony, was going to be Manchester United going 9 points clear at the top of the FA Premier League, but Thierry Henry, unfortunately, had other ideas about that, but the less said about that, the better. Musically, though, Skelman Fort's performance of Music for the Common Man in the first section, and the cleaning incident has already been alluded to, but it won't be forgotten in a long time.
And the same question to you, John?
Well, mine wasn't any particular band performance. Mine was the fact of hearing a new commission and a very interesting work from Keith Wardle. Edwin of Northumbria was a really good test for the third section, and it had to be the highlight of the weekend for me.
And as it seems nobody's going to ask me, I'm not going to bother telling you all, so there you go. Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much. Well, that brings us nicely to the end of this programme, and we'll be back in 3 weeks' time with the 2007 Norwegian Championships that take place in Bergen. So thanks for joining us, and on this occasion we'll leave you with a successful world record attempt that took place here in Butlins this weekend. The Big Blow 2007.